Prof Sain Nissen, 5th of May, Rabbi Eli Pick, Her Majesty the Queen's 90th birthday.
I'm sure everybody will join me in wishing Her Majesty the Queen a very hearty Mazel Tov on the occasion of her 90th birthday. The actual birthday was on the 21st of April, but they make it Nidcha for the celebrations. Some will be this month, some will be next month. Thank you, Gerald, for kindly agreeing to sing the national anthem afterwards. Well, obviously any excuse for a Kiddush and Kegel and Chulant, but the question which we want to ask today is, do we attribute to Her Majesty the Queen the same kind of importance like the kings and queens of old? The Queen nowadays is largely ceremonial in her duties. She doesn't really have the power because we have a democratically elected government. So do we in Halacha apply the same kind of principles to the monarchy now as we used to then? That's essentially the question which we want to address. And just a couple of weeks ago, Chief Rabbi Mervis and his Rebbetzin were guests of Her Majesty at Windsor Castle, where they dined and where they slept, and he presented her with a very artistic frame of the prayer we say for the royal family. And this is based on Perkei Avos and Perek Gimel, Heve Mispalo B'Shlomo Shel Malchus. We have to pray for the welfare of the kingdom. This is a halacha. Perek Gimel, halacha beis, and Shemoli Marah Ish Esrei Chaim Beloah, because if we wouldn't have a monarchy, or if we wouldn't have government, because it's referring to government in general, we would get anarchy and people will do whatever they like and there would be chaos. So it's something which is very orderly. And the prayer which many shuls say is perhaps a slightly amended one in many Sidurim. At the GGBH, the prayer which is recited every week by the rabbi is one which is the original text, which I think comes from the Avodrom. And there is a phrase, Hanosin Bayom Derech Uvamayim Azim Nasivo. It's talking about Hashem being the one who is in control of the seas and the strong waves which fly in all directions. And the question is asked, why is it that in the prayer for the royal family, at least this original one, we're talking about one particular issue which Hashem does when there are so many things we can say about Hashem? He's Norov, Oyom, and Adir, and Gevurah. So why is it that we're just talking in this prayer for the royal family about the seas and the waves? And it once happened that Rav Yitzchok of Volozhin was called before the Tsar. They had a relationship with each other. And the Tsar said to him, he said, one of my servants actually went into one of your synagogues and heard a prayer being said for me, which is very nice. But I found out that the same prayer is being said in Germany for the Kaiser. And I hate the Kaiser. So is there not a contradiction? Here in Russia, you're making a prayer for the Tsar. And there in Germany, you're making a prayer for the Kaiser. I don't think that there's much value in this prayer which you say for me if you're going to pray for the Kaiser as well. To which Rav Yitzchok of Volozhin answered him, he said, if you look at the wording of the prayer which we say, we earmark the fact of Hanosin Bayom Derech of Amayim Azim Nasiva, which comes from Pasuk in Yeshayah chapter 43. And why is it that we talk about the sea and the waves? Because if you've got sailors on a yacht who are in the east and they want to travel to the west, then they are praying that the waves will fetch them from east to west. But at the same time, you've got sailors who are sailing on a boat from west to east and now relying on the wind to bring them from the west to the east. So you might say there's a contradiction, but that is the way Hashem runs the world, in that we can manage both at the same time, and therefore there is no contradiction. So we know that the idea of Kavod L'Malchus comes from a few places already in the Chumash. In Parshas Vayigash, Vayovorech Yaakov is Paro. Yaakov benches Paro. Why does Yaakov bless Paro? Paro is a Rosha. Nevertheless, the Torah, Sefer Torah Shlema says, from Chemdas Yomim, Meshum Kavod Malchus. Because you have to give honor to the monarchy where you are. And similarly with Yosef, Vayiritzu Min HaBor, Yosef was pulled out from the pit, and it was on Rosh Hashanah, Vayigalach Vayichalev Simnosov. So Rashi asks, why is it then that he was given a haircut and so on? What's the whole fuss about? Obviously you have a haircut when you go before the king. So it was Rosh Hashanah. Chasam Sofer writes that it was the first day Rosh Hashanah, and Meshum Kavod Malchus, he was able to owe that Issa Rabbanon, because, well, normally you can't have a haircut on Rosh Hashanah, but to have an Amir al-Akum and so on and so forth, to set aside this rule, why? Meshum Kavod Malchus. In the same way, in Parshas Vayechi, Vayischazek Yisrael, Vayeshev al-Hamitah, there, Yisrael, Yaakov, is giving honor to Yosef. Yosef is his son. Surely it is the son who gives the honor to his father. But because Yosef had a din of melech, of a king, therefore, Rashi says, Afa pishu b'ni melechu. He is a king, and therefore Yaakov was giving cover to Yosef. A number of examples. There's another one in Rekim Yanes, Shalom Paro, when Yosef interprets the dreams. Shalom Paro, the Midrash Lekach Tov says, Mikan shetzorich odom nispalel b'shalom shel malchus. So it's very important to pray for the welfare of the kingdom. So it's a bit of a surprise that some shuls might be neglecting this, but that is the din. And even in the case of King Achov, the wicked King Achov, we find that Eliyahu Novi gave him covered. It says that when he was riding on his chariot, Eliyahu Novi ran in front of it in order to give him honor. King Achov was the worst king you could imagine, but nevertheless, he was given that honor. So the Gemara in Bracha says in Daf Nun Ches, Horeh Malachai Ode Kachovim, somebody who sees kings, non-Jewish kings, over the Bracha, there are different gifts, that's what the Bracha is, Shanos HaMichlod HaRabos HaVadom, which is brought down to the Shulchan Aruch, Simon Reish Chavdala, Siv Ches, Shanos HaMichlod HaRabos HaVadom. So the Gemara there says in Brachas, Omer Rabbi Yochanan, the Olam Yishnad HaRodom LaRutz, a person should even try to run Likras Malachai Yisrael, and to greet Jewish kings, and also Malachai Akub, non-Jewish kings. Because if one will have the merit eventually to see the Melech HaMashiach, that one will have the zechus to know in advance what kind of feeling that it is, in order to give honor to the monarchy, because we will one day, please God, have our monarchy again, and people should have this perception and to understand what it means. And Rashi compares this to Olam Habo as well as Melech HaMashiach, and that a person should get this idea of honoring the kingdom because of respect for the Malchus, because of Hakoras Atov, because we give thanks to the kingdom for allowing us to live in the country, plus the fact that it reflects on the future and gives us this idea. And Rav Sheshes, Rav Sheshes was blind, but nevertheless he went out to the procession when the king was going past in order to give kovod l'malchus. And he said the bracha. He couldn't even see the king because of his blindness. But he recited the bracha, Shanoson, Michwodo, Lobosov Adom. So there's an interesting Gemara in Brachas Yud Tes where it says, Omra Beloza ben Tzadok, Kohen Medalgin. A Kohen is not allowed to go near a mace. A Kohen is not allowed to go near a dead corpse. But nevertheless, if the Kohen is running to greet the king or the queen, the rabbis set aside a rule that the Kohen, if the only way you can go is to jump over some coffins, so there are mesim in the coffins, normally the Kohen is not allowed to jump over these coffins. But we say there is a tefach gap between the top of the coffin and the mace, and so the din d'oraisa is not being conflicted with, it's d'rabbanan. So the rabbis set aside the rule in order to give honor to the king and to the queen for the Kohen to jump over the coffin's medalgin. And this is not just Malchei Yisrael, but also Malchei Akum, Shimis Kayakum, and Malchei Yisrael. And the Rambam brings us down in Hilchos Ovel that we suspend the rabbinical law in order to give honor to the king or to the queen. So the question is, do we make a bracha nowadays when we see Her Majesty the Queen? Do we say the same blessing, or do we say that since her duties are largely ceremonial, maybe we don't? A famous constitutional writer in 1867 called Walter Bagehot wrote, "The Queen reigns, she does not rule." Well, in this country it always rains. But she doesn't actually rule. She's not actually, like Henry VIII could say, off with his head, with his own wife. So that's not the same kind of authority that the Queen has nowadays. So do we make a comparison? I mean, Henry VIII, if you stood in front of him and your collar wasn't straight, it wasn't your collar you were worried about. So, nevertheless, the Queen, she wears the Levosh Malchus, the royal robes. She receives great respect, more than anybody else. There's all this pomp and pageantry. The idea of the monarchy is that it's continuous. She's seen numerous prime ministers since she ascended to the throne on 6th of February 1952. And I only know it because I was born shortly afterwards. And she's got the royal prerogative. So,
well, how could you remember?
Special event. So then the question further is, to what extent do we go to, in order to give cover to the Malchus? Okay, we say the prayer in the shul every Shabbos after Kriyas HaTorah when we were holding the Sefer Torah to give honour to the Queen. But to what extent do we set aside any rules? I mean, what about this rule of Medalgin, of the Kohanim jumping over? Do we set aside rules? Or can you close up your Gemara in order to go out to a procession, in order to see it and in order to make the bracha? So, these are the questions. What if she just whizzes past? I remember at the age of 6 years old, we were told to stand at the corner of the road, Holders Hill Road, with our Union Jack flags, to fly them when she goes past. And suddenly, zoom! This car whizzed past. We had no idea what it was, who it was, who was in there. And then we were told, unfortunately, yeah, we missed it. You just blinked and you didn't see anything. So if she just whizzes past, do you still make that bracha? There is another question which some poskim ask, is that one is not allowed to gaze at a woman's face, so how can you actually look at the queen in order to make the bracha? But on there, the answer is quite simple. We spoke about Rav Sheshes, remember, who was blind. You don't actually have to gaze at her face in order to make the bracha. The mere fact that there is perception of royalty going past is enough to make that bracha. And if we do make such a bracha for Her Majesty the Queen, does the same rule apply to, like, the President of the United States of America? I myself personally don't really feel like saying a bracha when I see Barack Obama, but if we gave covered to King Achov, the wicked king, then maybe it's certainly justified to say the bracha over any ruler. What about a dictator, Colonel Gaddafi, Saddam Hussein, Chas v'Shalom? Well, that's clear. But certainly with the President of the United States, although he's got more power than Her Majesty the Queen, he doesn't have the continuity, and he's ditched after 4 or 8 years, and then he's left back to being a nobody. So the Rambam writes in Perek Yud Hilchas Brachos, Halacha Yud Aleph, he says, you make this bracha when you see the king or queen. So when you see a Jewish king or queen, you make this bracha, who gives from his kavod and from his gevurah, from his power, to those who fear him. And he talks about Malchei Omos HaOlam as well. So maybe it's because he uses the word umigvurosa, that's talking about power. The queen hasn't really got power. Okay, she signs her royal assent to the bills which go through parliament, and there have even been demonstrations to her asking her to rescind something, but she doesn't really have the power like the kings of old. So do we say, from the basis of what the Rambam says, umigvurosa, that it doesn't apply to Her Majesty the Queen? So the Magen Avraham quotes the Shadas and Shuvas of the Radbaz. There in Chelek Aleph, Reish Sadivov, he talks about the king's governor, which was in Egypt, called a basha. And this basha had the power to exercise the death penalty. And he was paskining that you make the bracha even when you see the basha. But in the case of the basha, it was a case of him being exercising the death penalty. So therefore, it is a case of gevura. What is the situation? So Rav Vosner writes in the Shevet HaLevi, in Chelek Aleph, Siman Lamed Hei, he says, really, we don't make any difference. Nowadays, we do make a bracha when we see the queen. What about this phrase of the Rambam, umigvuroso, of power? So he says, if you look carefully, the phrase the Rambam writes is on the Malchei Yisrael, on the Jewish kings and queens, that you use this word umigvurosa. But on the non-Jewish kings and queens, even if there's no gevura, he doesn't include the word, doesn't say anything about gevura. And therefore, even if the queen has not got actual powers to say, off with his head, you can still make the bracha. And there's no need to see the queen when she goes past. Simply the fact that she goes past is enough. He says there's no difference between a king and a queen. And and the din of the bashas, din harek bamishpat. Well, that's the basha because he was a deputy of the king. But as the king himself or the queen herself, you don't need the don v'harek bamishpat. It's not necessary to have that criteria in order to make the bracha. So therefore, even if she doesn't rule or have the actual power, she's got that status, even without the migvarosa. So Rav Ozan also brings you Rishalmi and Nozir Perek Zayin, mitzvah liras gedole malchus. It is a mitzvah to see any royalty. Gedole malchus implies not only Her Majesty the Queen herself, but maybe this applies also to Prince Charles or Princess Anne, the Princess Royal. I don't know, William and Kate, who knows, but we don't actually have a Shadus of Truvas about that yet. But the idea is to perceive royalty, because if you can understand what royalty is, and you see all the fuss and the pomp and the pageantry, and for us, we take it for granted because we live in London, but when the Americans come here, they see the changing of the guard and all the paraphernalia which goes with it and the band playing and all the majestic music. This is what Malchus is all about.
We might be
cynical about some of the things which take place. We say it's not democratic and we might be Republicans, but it's the idea of Malchus. And that is the idea that you are giving this covered to such a person in such a formalized way. And Maral Diskin says it's a mitzvah saseh min ha-Torah to see how covered is given to non-Jewish kings and queens, just so that you'll learn how to give covered your own, because it says so to Sum Alech Melech. And a similar idea is written by the B'tzel HaChochma, that it's a mitzvah to try to see the queen. So he writes in his Truvas B'tzel HaChochma in Chelek Beis Simon Yud Tes, and there's no need to look at the face. Rav Shraga Feigl, Schneebalg, Rav Shraga Feigl, who was in Stafford Hill some years back, and he wrote Shraga HaMeir, the Shalos of Shuvas, and he addresses this question. He says, HaMelochim b'zman hazeh eilam b'kocham l'homis l'achios. The kings and queens nowadays, they don't have it in their power to give people a death sentence or to commute a death sentence, although that's not now really 100% true. But he says there's no difference. Like here in England, he says, we give covered la malchus, and he quotes the Minchas Elozar. Rav Avadi Yosef writes that since the queen can commute a death sentence, then that does put her in the same category. Although we don't have the death penalty in this country, except for treason, she is the queen of 15 or so countries. And some of them do still have the death penalty, and she has got the power to commute a death sentence. So that puts her really in the same category of what we were saying called Umig Vurosa. So he quotes the Minchas Elozar, the Munkat Sharov, Rav Chaim Elozar Shapira, who actually met the Queen of Holland and made the bracha when he saw her. It was an interesting story because she saw a big fuss of people coming off a train in Hungary, and she asked, what was this all about? And they said a famous rabbi is being met by his Hasidim, his followers, and she said, I want to see him. And they met in a park with their advisors, out of publicity, and she said to him, Rabbi, I have a problem and I want you to help me. She said, I don't have any children, and I'm reaching the end of my childbearing age, and the end of the Dutch monarchy will happen if I don't have any children. Please help me. So he said to her, within 1 year, you will give birth to a child. And that child will carry on the Dutch monarchy, and there will be future generations, and your monarchy will carry on until the Shiloh, until the Shiach comes. And she gave birth within a year. The Munkat Sharova. She gave birth within a year to Juliana, who became the queen off from 1948 till 1980. And Juliana gave birth to Beatrix, who gave up the throne in 2013. And Beatrix had three or four sons. So now her son is Willem Alexander, and he's the king as well. Such was the bracha of the Minchas Elozar. And the Sefer Mishnas Yaakov writes in New York in 1958 that the rule applies to the Queen of England. Now the Tshuvas Van Hogus Rav Sternberg writes in Simon Kuflam Tes Arachayim, he says the queen signs the royal assent. That is a significant idea, that she gives that signature to every law which happens. And she is continuous with her and with her descendants. And he contrasts this with the USA president, who can be overruled. After 4 years, he can be ditched after however many years he serves, but he's got a maximum time. It's not that his children carry on. There's no idea of royalty in the same way. So therefore, the Shutz Be'er Moshe, Rav Stern writes in Chelek Beis Siman Tes, that for the USA president, you do not make the bracha. You say it maybe without the Shem and Malchus. And a similar idea is brought by Rabbi Avadya and B'Tzal HaChochma. The Rabbi B'Tzal HaShtern is B'Tzal HaChochma asks the question in Chelek Beis Yud Ches, whether if you see the queen, but you only see her on a television, and he writes Beveis Chaveira. He says, obviously you don't have a television, but if you happen to be in somebody else's house, he says Beveis Chaveira, and you see the queen, do you make the bracha any paskins that you don't? Well, the queen actually has been instrumental behind the scenes, not only advising many prime ministers with her experience, but there have been even occasions where she's been busy behind the scenes actually choosing the prime minister. When some unexpected death happens, like in 1963, Harold Macmillan passed away, and apparently she was very instrumental in appointing Sir Alec Douglas Hume as the replacement prime minister. There was also 4 or 5 years ago a dispute in Papua New Guinea, where she is the queen, where they have always a governor-general representing the queen, and the governor went abroad and he wasn't well, so somebody stood in his place, and when he came back there was a dispute as to who should be the governor, and she was instrumental in deciding who that should be. So there you find she's at a status which nobody else really can equal. Now the question we asked was, do you close up the Gemara? Well, obviously, all personal queries have to be forwarded to one's own reliable rabbinical authority, but the Aruch HaShulchan writes, similar Reish Chavdalot, he says, you do at least once, you do close up the Gemara and give up your learning in order to go out and greet the queen. He says, and if the next time the procession is greater than the first time, then you should go to that as well. So that's for you to decide which procession is greater. I'm not exactly sure what processions are taking place next month. There already were people out in the streets of Windsor on the 21st of April, and there's going to be something going on later next month.
To close the Gemara, to go and greet, is that just out of COVID?
Covered Lamalchus.
Covered
Lamalchus, just to give honour to the monarchy. And in 1981, Her Majesty the Queen opened up the Gateshead Leisure Centre, and the whole yeshiva from Gateshead with the Rosh Yeshiva went out to be there in the procession and to recite the bracha. There's an interesting shaila which is brought in the Shaila Slumus of the Kasaf Sofer. There in Aruch Chaim Siman Lamed Zayin, he gets a shaila asked by his brother in Krakow, where the king was coming on a procession, and they had the custom there that when the king comes on a procession, you stand outside and you hold the Sifrei Torah. So you take out your scrolls from the Aron HaKodesh and you stand there with the Sefer Torah while the king goes past. And what was going to happen? The king was coming on Shabbos, Shecholios B'Yom HaKippurim. So the question was, what do we do? It's going to be Shabbos, it's going to be Yom Kippur. How are we going to greet the king? And he paskened that since Krakow, in his view, had a din of Karmelis, and not a Rishus HaRabim D'Araisa, and he quoted this Gemara on Brachos Yotes about Medalgin, about the Kohanim who jump over the coffins. So he says, Hitiru Isu Drabonon, and he quotes the Rambam in Hilchos Avot. So he said, we will set aside this rabbinical rule, and we will go out and we will greet the king on Shabbos Yom Kippur with the Sifrei Torah, an amazing Pesach. There's a famous story in 1440 in the town of Zaragoza in Spain, where they had this custom to go out to greet the king with Sifrei Torah. And once some bright spark in the shuls there said, you know, they had these Sfardi Sifrei Torah, so you had the metal casing with the cloth, with the leather parchment inside. So one said, why do we have to bother schlepping something so heavy? Why don't we just take out the cloth and just hold the metal frames, and it'll be easier for us. But there was one Jew hater there, his name was Marcus, a Jew himself, who told the king, he said, you know, these Jews are taking the mickey out of you. They're standing there with their Sifrei Torah, their scrolls of the law, but there's nothing really inside the casing. And the king got a bit annoyed about this. He said, well, if that's true, then they're going to be in big trouble. And the procession took place, and there were 3 Sifrei Torah from 12 shuls, 36 Sifrei Torah. And the king was riding on his horse. He said to Marcus, right, go and get them to open them up. And they opened them up, and every single one had the cloth inside. They had the Sifrei Torah inside. What happened? The night before, the shamas of every single one of those 12 shuls had a dream of Eliyahu HaNavi appearing to him, saying, quick, go back to the shul now. Don't tell anybody. Make sure the cloth is inside the Sifrei Torah. so that when the king comes, you're holding both the metal casing and the scroll inside. And that was celebrated afterwards. It's called the Purim of Saragossa. They wrote a Megillah about it. And some people have the minhag every year on the 17th of Shabbat to recite this Megillah. The Osamach wasn't quite as lenient as the Ksav Sofer in setting aside various rabbinical rules. He was asked about playing music on Shabbos, and although that is a rabbinical law, he was not happy about learning one onto another, one Dindur Rabbonon onto another. But he said it's good enough if you stand outside and you do what you have to do by standing there. There's a Sefer Som Derech of Rav Simcha Zissel Brody. He was the Rosh Hashiva of Chevron. And he writes, on Parshas Miketz, Kabod Malchus Godol Admaud. The honor of the Malchus is very great and important. And he gives three reasons. One, he says, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu puts into power, if God puts into power a person and gives them a kavod, then we have to emulate that. We have to emulate what God wants and give kavod to that person ourselves. Secondly, he says, those people who scorn on certain members of the royal family, like they laugh at Prince Charles because he talks to plants, he says that is not a healthy thing for a person's own neshama, to be scornful. One should be positive. And therefore, it can harm your own character if you don't have respect for authority and respect for others. And thirdly, he says, we are commanded to have kavod HaKadosh Baruch Hu. See how Malchus is honored with Basav Adom, and if you see how the monarchy is offered with Basav Adom, then you may have the correct perception as to how you honor Melech Malchei Hamlochim HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Levushei Mordechai, Rav Mordechai Lev Winkler, wrote in his Shalos HaTshuvos, he wrote about 100 years ago, and he wrote something very strange in his Shalos HaTshuvos, Yerodeo Mem Test Tlisoi. He says, England me'iye Eretz HaKodesh. He refers to England as being one of the islands of the Holy Land, which is remarkable, you know. I never quite felt this Kedusha when I walked the streets in Golders Green Road.
Australian, though.
So what did he mean by this? He doesn't really explain. He's talking there about the mitzvah of Yishuv in Eretz Yisrael and other things. But it seems that the reason why he wrote this was because the whole of mainland Europe was largely Catholic, and the Catholics were very hostile to the Jews. Whereas England, with Henry VIII changing things, were more tolerant because they created Protestantism and were not so hostile like the Catholics. Henry VIII... Well, the blood libels were before then.
Well, but England's got a tainted
history. Yeah, we've got a tainted history, that's true. But the story goes that Henry VIII wanted a breakaway from the church because he wanted to divorce his wife, and he brought in three rabbis, and he bought a Talmud, he bought the Bomberg Shas, as it was, which was later stored in Westminster Abbey and then bought over by Mr. Jack Lunzer in 1980. Anyway, sold for $9.3 million, if you want to get. So this Henry VIII, you know what they say about him, divorced, beheaded, died, divorced, beheaded, survived. He wanted to find a heter. And these rabbonim said to him, well, actually, since Catherine of Aragon is the wife of your brother, you're not supposed to in Torah or marry the wife of your brother, and therefore you can argue that the marriage should be annulled, because then there was no divorce in those days in England, but you could have the marriage annulled, and on that basis he got rid of her. And it's less messy than having a beheading, you know. Rav Sternbuch writes that Rav Yosef Chaim Sonnenfeld said a bracha when he saw the king of Jordan in a tent, so there wasn't even a procession going on. But when it came to the Kaiser Wilhelm II in 1898, people were running to Rav Yosef Chaim Sonnenfeld and said, quick, come along, the Kaiser is coming in a procession with white horses and a gold helmet. He presented the Bikur Cholim Hospital in Rehov Strauss to the Jewish community. So he said, I'm sorry, I'm not going out. Why not? He said, Germany is a monarch. This was in 1898, exactly 40 years later, my mother watched her shul burning down on Kristallnacht in Frankfurt am Main. She had a red J stamped in her passport. 22 close relations of hers were gassed. So it is quite logical that when we come to a country like the UK and we can show HaKoras HaTov, where we've got a place where we can live and find refuge and we can practice our faith, at least when Ofsted is not around. So when she has a celebration, we should show that we're part of it. And we should send her victorious, happy and glorious, long to reign till 120. May God save the Queen. Amen.